Hi, Dan.
Hey, Jason.
I'm back from my travels now.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Good for you. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm back too, I guess.
Are you, though?
I would have taken another week in Hawaii. That would have been fine.
I mean, who wouldn't, given the chance, I think.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah, who is of sound mind and body and would not take another week in Hawaii?
No, I would do that in a heartbeat, but alas, I had to return. My children had to return to school. My wife had to return to her job. I could have probably done my job there, but the rest of the family could not have. So we're
back.
Such
is the virtue of working, being a freelancer, living the freelance life.
It's true. It's true. That's one of the great advantages of it. Although I will say, I would not have had fun working in Hawaii because, you know, you're in Hawaii, but now you're inside typing on a keyboard,
looking,
right?
Looking outdoors at all the things that you've been missing.
Yeah, that said, there is something to even just the pleasure of sitting outside in early January wearing nothing but shorts and a t-shirt, reading a book. Even if you're not wandering a beach or going through a jungle or something like that, even just sitting there, pretty pleasurable, I gotta say, especially in early January when everywhere back on the mainland is cold and or rainy.
I gotta tell you, it's 60 degrees and sunny here today, so
yeah, but while we were
weirdly enough, while
we were gone, the southeast got snow, the northeast was really cold, and the west got deluged with rain. So we knew how to pick it, I guess is what I'm saying. I love it. That is my favorite thing, is taking a vacation when the weather at home is terrible. That if you can nail that, woo, that's good stuff.
That's a good deal if you can make that happen. But you're back,
yep.
and so you missed out on the madness that was CES.
I did.
I can't imagine you're sad about that.
I felt bad. So Robbie Baldwin, who has worked a bunch of different places, including back in the day at MacLife, and now works at Engadget, I want to say.
Yeah,
It's confusing because I know somebody who works at Engadget. I know somebody who works at Gizmodo. It's keeping them straight is hard.
People move around a lot in our line of work.
Yeah, so Robbie... So a couple of years ago, we went snorkeling at Tunnels Beach in Kauai, which is fantastic. And then a year later or 8 months later, Robbie tweeted a picture about, this is my favorite place on earth. And I tapped on the picture and I was like, oh my God, that's Tunnels Beach. And I said, is that Tunnels? And he said, yes, it is. So we were at Tunnels Beach last week and I sent him a tweet that was basically like, hello from a warm, happy place with a picture of Tunnels Beach. And I think it came across wrong because, you know, he was at CES. It's like, sorry, I'm not trying to troll you. I'm trying to send you a connection of like this place that we love, and I'm there right now. But CES. So I missed it. What happened, Dan? Anything good? Any 3D TVs? Voice activated 3D TVs are the new thing.
You and I have both done our time in the CES trenches, and I think you would probably agree with me that in general, the overwhelming feeling, if you're that general tech blog, you know, like an Engadget or a Gizmodo or The Verge,
you got to do
it. Sure, there's plenty of stuff to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Like there's plenty of things that fall in your wheelhouse. If you're us and your focus is primarily Apple and sort of the Apple ecosphere, there's not a lot.
There's not a lot.
It's not a big conference for, you know, and in the past years, there used to be Macworld at the same time and
right.
Apple would do stuff. And sure, there's accessories and stuff that works with Apple products, but Apple doesn't have a presence at the show at all, like not officially. And, you know, they call their own press conferences these days if they want to announce something. So there's not going to be any sort of surprise announcement. Hey, we turned up at CES, right? Like, so, you know, out of interest, I keep my ear to the ground about it, but it's not like it's stuff that I actively am caring about.
My biggest problem with CES is that it's so big and most of it is garbage. That most of the stuff there is crap. It's
right,
old
right.
stuff. It's stuff that is nonsensical. Maybe this is a product that got, you know, there's a prototype from some factory in China that some company you've never heard of made, and they're trying to get somebody to distribute it, but it's terrible and it doesn't work. I remember one year I went to CES and like I walked through an entire hall, a huge conference hall, And the only thing I found that I considered the most interesting thing in the entire thing was like a phone in the shape of Homer Simpson. That was the level of quality material in that entire conference hall. And there, it's not that there isn't stuff there. In fact, I would say that the if you go to CES, I mean, you're talking about The Verge, and I experienced this when I was doing stuff for Macworld and PC World. If you have meetings with vendors and you fill your week with meetings with people who have products and stories to tell, CES can be really valuable. The problem with CES is that you can't walk the show floor. You really can't.
Right. Sure.
It, because it's too, there's too much. You literally can't walk the show floor. You could never cover it all. If you stopped even at every like eighth booth, you would not be able to make it. But, more than that, it's just the signal to noise ratio is just completely askew. So, it's been depleted. I mean, I wrote about this in the Six Colors magazine. If people listened to or read that, listen to the magazine. It didn't say anything, but if you read it, I mentioned this, like, Mobile World Congress has drained a lot of the interesting stuff out of CES,
right,
because
stuff,
the major smartphone manufacturers, they do that stuff in Barcelona in February instead. And then Apple proved to everybody, all the giants of the industry, that they can call their own product announcements and hold their own events, and they don't have to share space with the people at CES. So that really depleted CES of even, you know, even more of its actual content. So yeah, it's not my favorite. There's always a few things there. TiVo showed their new interface that they're rolling out again, which looks terrible, I have a TiVo, but oh well, I guess it's coming.
Yep, and there was the most interesting thing I thought I saw just from looking at, you know, the announcements that went through it, is there seemed to be a very broad adoption of Alexa. Sorry, now I've done that. Go back to sleep, Alexa. Don't buy any dollhouses.
No.
The Echo technology, the voice recognition technology, it seems to be getting built into a lot of things. So Lenovo has a speaker that's basically like, looks like kind of like an Echo clone. Mattel teamed up to make a voice activated assistant that was in part aimed at kids. I think LG's, one of their smart fridges, has Amazon voice technology built in. For some reason, it's taken sort of broad adoption, and Amazon's taken an approach, it seems like, of, hey, let's license the heck out of this and partner with a bunch of other people where we can.
Yeah, I do wonder if that's going to be the CEO of Sonos resigned this week. I wonder if since we know that the Play 5 speaker at least has microphones in it, I wonder if in addition to letting the Echo be used to control Sonos speakers, if they might also be licensing the Echo inside, lady in the speaker inside, and doing that part on their hardware that supports that, because that would be another way to go. But so that's Amazon. Yeah, Amazon's doing well. Amazon doesn't have a hardware business, but it's like they don't have a hardware business to protect in the same
way
Apple does.
Yeah, exactly, and in the same way that Microsoft, for example, is taking a broad approach of licensing its software because it doesn't sell hardware. At least it didn't sell hardware. Now it does sell hardware, and I always imagine that makes it a little bit interesting. Amazon, I think selling hardware is good for them, but it's also not, I don't think it's their bread and butter, right? You know, I think it's cool that they could make a product that people want to buy, but it's clear that it's not necessarily the product, the hardware, that is what is selling people, right? It's the capabilities in software. And if you can license that and someone else can make a different widget, but you're still getting some money on the back end for the services, then that's still a win for you, right? And I think part of the reason we saw this is that they are all these companies who are building products that Amazon isn't necessarily going to build, right? When it talks about, so Lenovo, for example, one of their products is kind of more or less a clone of the Echo, but there's an up-end version of it that is like a Harman Kardon speaker, right? And so it's like, well, Amazon's not going to spend the time probably to really invest in like way better speaker technology than
exactly.
An Echo. So why not let them take
unless they buy Sonos, but why?
Yeah,
you know,
sure,
instead let a company that wants to make a product like that make it. And in the end, you know, what is, it's such a brilliant move by Amazon, I think, because it's like, yes, put our technology in your smart refrigerator, because then everything you talk about with that
goes
refrigerator, you're buying from Amazon, and that's what they want. It's that's it's diabolical and brilliant. I love it. Well, it's super smart.
You know, the thing we always say with all of these companies is, you know, it's kind of the deep throat style, follow the money, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, when it comes to Apple, where do they make their money? They make their money from selling hardware devices. When you talk about Google, where do they make their money? They make their money from advertising. So it's always a matter of trying to figure out, okay, they put out this product. How does that trace back to what their sort of core business is? And with the Echo, I think a lot of people have taken that sort of view of like, oh, now I'm super worried about Amazon, like, you know, invading my privacy and stuff like that. And I think, yeah, there's concerns to be had about them taking data and information. But, you know, you draw a line between that and Google, which Google wants to monetize that information directly. And Amazon, I think, has interest in that information. But at the end of the day, they just want you to buy stuff from Amazon. And in some ways, I find that less insidious. It's mercenary. It's not to me. It doesn't have the same level of like, we just really want to know everything that is going on inside your head.
Right. We know what you want to buy. We want you to know. We want to read your mind about what you want to buy.
But you're gonna want to buy that stuff anyway.
But that's it.
Like, yeah,
that's
yeah. I don't know. It's a tough situation. But the Sonos thing is interesting, I think, especially because we had seen that news last year that they announced a partnership. Right, you'll be able at some point to control your Sonos speakers with your Echo.
Right,
which I think seems like a win-win for both of those companies.
I agree.
I certainly, if not, you know, an acquisition, I feel like a strong partnership between the two of those would actually really benefit them both, because the Sonos speakers are far better than the Echo speakers. Far, far better. No question.
The worst Sonos speaker is better by a mile than the Echo, right? I mean, the Play One.
I have two Play Ones now, and I mean, calling it the worst Sonos speaker sounds bad, because it's like, it's a great speaker. It's honestly phenomenal.
It's very good, yeah.
I have two of them now, and having those in my office and my living room, which are admittedly about 15 feet apart, you know, it seems like overkill, but it's just really nice to be like, put on some music. I've been working a lot this week in like on the couch and then going back to the desk, and just having the same music and like walking into the next room and being like, oh, my music is here too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of amazing. So, being able to use my, like, the one thing that bugs me about the Sonos is having to navigate through the app and find exactly what I'm looking for and playing it. And I feel like, you know, I'm so accustomed with the Echo to saying, hey, you know, play this, and having it just start playing. Like, to be able to do that and have it start playing on my Sonos just seems like that is the future I am heavily invested in.
Interesting.
That's me. So I'm looking forward to it. But I think it helps everybody. Rising tide, boats, et cetera. We're great at boats, Jason.
Everybody loves boats.
Who doesn't love boats? Other than that, though, CES, like I said, I think it was kind of a snoozer. I feel like there wasn't a lot to be gained there. The next interesting thing that I'm looking forward to is, I believe, as we record this evening, Nintendo will be holding a press conference in Tokyo to detail more about their new console, the Switch. I think that is coming tonight. And there are a bunch of rumors floating around today, including that there might be a limited number of pre-orders specifically at the New York store available. But nobody really knows what the deal with that is. But I've been intrigued about it since I saw its announcement last year, I think.
Sure. Like
last year. So I'm kind of curious to see how that actually pans out, since all we've really seen is like a marketing video.
Yeah, it looks interesting, right? But it's all going to be in the details.
Right. Yeah, because we know they can make a great marketing video. I don't think anybody's got a question about that.
Yeah, I mean, it basically looks like they want to make a handheld that is a console.
Smart. I mean, smart from their point of view, right? Like, I mean, they've made a few consoles, and certainly their last couple consoles have not done. I mean, the Wii, of course, was a huge sort of phenomenon when it hit, but as the years went by and they didn't do much to improve it, I think it died off a bit. And then the Wii U, I think, was always a very, it was just a hard product for a lot of people to wrap their heads around.
Yeah.
In terms of what it was and how it interacted with the Wii, if at all, because it used the same branding, but it was a different console, but it had separate control. I mean, I still to this day, I know you have one, right?
I do.
I still to this day don't entirely understand how it related to the Wii, but I feel like they ended up with some difficult messaging in there. And I think that really hurt them.
It's a next generation Wii that plays all the Wii games, which made it a very easy purchase for me because I wanted to play the new Mario Kart. And mm-hmm. we had a whole library of existing Wii games. And instead of having to add another console to the stack, I got to pull the old Wii out and put in the Wii U. And but yeah, it didn't live up to its potential. It had some really interesting aspects to it. But in the end, they were, not taken advantage of by anybody, even by Nintendo, as much as they should have been. The fact that you've got that separate controller that's got a screen on it, so you should be able to do stuff like play games where one person has knowledge and the other people don't have knowledge. And they had some demo games of that, some basic games of that, but it never really took off in the way that it should have. And
way back in,
Mario Kart 8 was beautiful.
I played it only once and really enjoyed it. I was trying to remember way back in, I want to say the GameCube era, you could hook up one of the Nintendo portables as a console, and you did the same thing where you have, I think there was a version of Pac-Man called Pac-Man Versus, where one person's Pac-Man and everybody else are the ghosts. And I believe the Pac-Man can see the whole map, and then the ghosts look at the TV, which only shows like a little circle around where the ghosts are. So it was very clever. It made a huge advantage. Like it took really great advantage of the fact that one person essentially had their own display.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it seemed like a gimmick that didn't really get widely embraced.
Yeah. And it probably would have been, again, I like the ambition of it, but it probably would have been better. I never really liked that controller. It would have been better as a product if they had not shipped an expensive, weird controller done something else or cut the price.
I think that's why it was so confusing to people too, right? Because is the Wii U the controller or the console? Like there was definitely some confusion, I feel like, around that when it first came out.
Yeah.
Because people expected a much more like a jump between like the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One that I don't think really existed, but I don't know. So I'm interested in the Switch. If they do announce like, hey, we've got a new Mario Kart coming, I feel like that makes it doubly interesting to me. Although I would really love to see a Mario Kart version on iOS.
I've been
playing Super Mario Run, and I feel like Super Mario Run's a pretty solid game. I have some issues with it, but you know, when you're jumping around and running around as Mario, like it's pretty entertaining and feels pretty Mario-like. And so I feel like a racing game where I could use the gyroscope and drive my little Mario Kart, I feel like I would be pretty on board with that.
Yeah, I love that. Well, like I said, I basically bought a Wii U because I wanted to play Mario Kart, and it was great. So I don't know. that's I look forward to seeing what they do. As somebody with a Wii U, I am skeptical of whether I will jump on another Nintendo platform. Also because my son is 12. I feel like he plays Xbox One way more than he plays on the Wii U. Although he does have a DS and he likes that. But I feel like his era of really loving Nintendo games is waning. And he's much more into what you'd consider mainstream console games now. Like, he plays a lot of Overwatch these days. And I think. So I feel like for our family, it's less likely. But you never know. I mean, it depends on the details. If it's a really great handheld game that my son could take around with him and then plop it in the console and put it on the TV when he wants, and the TV's available, that might be something that, and then the whole family can play or whatever. There might be something there. I don't know. I'm kind of curious. I just don't want to have more consoles. That's like the number one reason I don't have a PS4 is that I already have a Wii U and an Xbox One attached to my TV. It's like, I don't really want another console there.
Yeah. I mean, the portability aspect of it appeals to me. I had a DS, the very first DS, but I think I never had more than a game or two on it. And certainly the portability slash like the sort of transformer aspect to it, if you will, is what has me intrigued. But I still have my 360 sitting there, which I should really put away at least because it doesn't get used anymore. I don't have that many consoles, but I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. So we'll see how it goes. And Nintendo has long had some properties that are very persuasive. Like we talked about Mario Kart. There are a legion of Zelda fans that will buy anything that plays Zelda.
That's true.
So I feel like they have some huge intellectual property potentially at their disposal. The problem has often been for them, stuff outside of that is less compelling because they're not getting the same AAA titles that are you see on the Xbox One or PS4 or the PC for that matter. So I wanted to play No Man's Sky for a while, and it's only on the PS4 or PC, so I just ended up, you know, paying attention to my friends who were playing it and didn't get to play it myself, really.
Sad.
It's all right. I don't even have that much time for video games anyways these days.
Well, you're busy with other stuff. Your book is coming out this year.
It is. I just...
This year. Soon.
I know. This is crazy. I just, right before we got on this call, I just got, and this is for secret podcast listeners only, I got a PDF with a mock-up of the interior of the book, like laid out like a book. And I was kind of like, oh, it looks like a book. So that's pretty exciting. And I got a nice call out in Barnes & Noble and their list of upcoming sci-fi debuts of the year to watch, which was quite surprising to me and was thanks to our friend Scott McNulty, who saw it and tweeted about it, and which took me totally by surprise. I had no idea whatsoever that was going to happen. So that was a pleasant development.
That's pretty cool.
Cool. I'm excited.
I have an update about my Comcast.
Oh yeah, your cap issues.
Yes.
All right. What have you found?
It is exactly what I thought, which is that my I have teenagers, essentially, and they eat bandwidth. But something else also is going on, and I say this because today. My connection has used the most data it has since I've been monitoring by far in the first 12 hours of today, and I don't know where it's coming from. And here's where it gets even weirder. It happened overnight. At 1 a.m., there were 16 gigs of downloads. At 2 a.m., there were 22 gigs of downloads.
Holy cow.
At 3 a.m., there were 16 gigs of downloads. At 5 a.m., there were 20 gigs of downloads. And between 6 and 7 a.m., according to this, we downloaded 23 gigabytes and uploaded 12 gigabytes. I have no idea what that is.
Can you track it down to like an IP or something?
I don't know if I can, but I'm completely, completely baffled by that now.
That's crazy. Like I was going to say, when you first started saying certain amount of gigabytes, my first thought was something like Crash Plan, right? Like Crash Plan decided to re-upload all of your
but
backups.
It's a download.
So that makes less sense.
Yeah, I don't.
Wow, that's.
I legitimately don't know quite what's going on there. Because those numbers are so huge.
Yeah, that's enormous. I mean, that's a ton of data. I mean, basically that's like BitTorrents running somewhere in the background, right?
Yeah,
like,
except that's not happening.
And then it would be uploading too. That's the way that BitTorrent works. So you would have to be downloading just insane amounts
of something. Yeah, and I don't know what that would be.
So it sounds like there's a device on your network which has gone rogue.
Yeah,
it's decided to just start downloading stuff.
And I don't know what it is. And my Mac were off. So I'm going to go through all the devices today and try to figure out what might be causing it. But this is one of the problems, is there's no way to tell. So I think the answer is going to be that I'm going to have to, you know, pay a Comcast or whatever. But I am also really curious about, like, what in the world happened? And is it... I don't think I have the Wii U or the Xbox set to do auto updating. Mm-hmm. They do it. Mm-hmm. They don't do it in the background. They go to all the way off and don't stay asleep.
My Xbox does it, but doesn't down. I mean, it's not getting that much data
huge
in one night. Yeah.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah, it's too bad. So there's no, I mean, I know that you found some tools to like sort of monitor some of your bandwidth, but there's no, it seems weird that there's no tool. I feel like you need something on your router that was just sort of figuring out what devices were consuming the most amount of data.
Well, that's the thing is that, so the traffic monitoring software I have is running, is talking to the router, but the router doesn't know like, what the it doesn't seem to log like what it is per device.
I mean that should be there. It seems like that's just a thing that they didn't plan for, right? I mean, in theory, all the data that's coming and going should at least be, I don't know, I feel like it should at least be stamped with like a MAC address or something. I don't know. This gets beyond my knowledge.
I'm sure it is, how in the world would you measure that?
They would need to have built a tool or provided raw data in a way that you could sort of suck down that raw data and like run it through a program and divvy it up. But that seems like, yeah, a tool that is kind of, I mean, is a niche except in cases like this where you want to figure out what's consuming all your extra data.
Yeah, it's really weird. I kind of want to.
Pretty spooky.
Yeah.
It's ghosts, Jason. It's ghosts downloading ghost data.
Ghosts.
It's the answer to most tech problems, I think we'll find.
Really?
It's ghosts. It's true.
Huh.
Most people don't know that.
I would not have guessed. I think that's where it gets me, right?
It's weird because if you go into a Genius Bar, right, and bring in your computer and your computer's broken, I mean, like, they know they can't just be like, hey, it's ghosts, right? Because then you're not going to believe them and you're not going to pay them to fix it. But they go in the back and then they say, yeah, this guy's computer is full of ghosts. What should we tell him? And he's like, tell him that their hard drive's corrupted. They need to zap their pram.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, just take that back out. Yeah, but it's actually ghosts.
It's actually the ghosts.
It's 100% ghosts.
Huh.
I used to work in IT for a while. You can trust me.
You're okay. Sounds good. And will that be in your novel?
That will be. You know, funny that you say that. I got another novel coming out.
Actually, I do know the subject of that book that you've been working on.
Which is ghosts. Hey, that book is
technology and ghosts. Maybe
it's technology,
I don't know.
And ghosts. There's a little ghost. There's a little technology.
The bonus is that the subscribers get, man alive.
You guys are learning stuff left and right.
Yeah. Ghosts.
Oh, it's too new.
I wish I had. Yeah, I feel like I've wasted my time for the last 20 years not paying attention to the ghost possibilities.
Yeah. Yep.
Anything else we should talk about, or is that enough ridiculousness for now? Meanwhile, I'm very disturbed by my internet connection and what's going on with that, man. What is happening?
Yeah, I don't know. There's not a lot else going on right now. I think we do at some point in the next few weeks have should be probably like an Apple financial thing coming up.
Yeah,
because it's January.
Yeah, in fact, you may be able to hear me typing in the background. I'm
click click click.
I'm going to look at that right now if my computer will let me. You know, I hope something else is downloading in the background. First quarter results January 31st.
Ooh, last day of the month.
Yeah, that's inconvenient.
Oh, yeah, that is inconvenient. I think I might be on a plane that day.
I have a meeting that evening. Well, we'll figure it out. Well, we should ask Apple to move it by a day, like they did last time.
Maybe they would help us out with that.
Where are you going? Do you have a convention appearance? Is that where you're going?
I do. I will be in Seattle. I'm just seeing when I actually leave now.
Emerald City Comic Con.
Oh, wait, no, I totally lied. I totally lied. It's the end of, we're talking the end of January. That's at the end of February.
Oh, okay.
I knew it was the last day of a month. I forgot which month because I can't remember days anymore.
Well, then enjoy.
I'll be here.
Enjoy,
good news.
Enjoy the Apple results.
Yeah, I will. I'll look forward to my time with Tim. Enjoy spending my 1 hour with Tim every quarter.
Yep. As you do.
I feel like, you know, he and I get to catch up a lot. He talks a lot, though. He doesn't really listen.
No, not really. It's not
hard to get
thing.
A word in edgewise.
Not his bag.
Not a thing.
All right. Well, we're anything back else? On the horse now.
All right. Well, there's a horse, too. Jeez, ghost.
It's
horses.
A ghost. It's a ghost horse, Dan.
Oh, the ghost horse with no name. That's the spookiest neigh I've ever heard.
Well, have you heard a ghost horse before?
No, I haven't.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
No. Hello, Hearts, Wilbur.
For ghost, to ride Mr. A ghost horse.
Ghosts, it's not easy for ghosts if they've
that's
been trained
true.
To ride.
Yeah. Well, not ghosts, can't ride a horse. Yeah, if they couldn't ride a horse in life, they can't just magically get the power to ride a ghost in death. That's ridiculous.
All right. Yes.
This has been a podcast.
This
Thank
has
you
been
for listening.
A podcast. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back sometime, unless the ghosts stop us. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.